Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's talk now about the world's largest unsolved art heist, the theft of $500 million of art from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston 28 years ago, and the wonderful podcast about the story. It's called Last Scene, which just dropped its 10th and final episode today. Last Scene is a joint production of WBUR and the Boston Globe, and it goes deep into this gripping story. Kelly Horan. And full disclosure here, my better half is the senior producer and senior reporter. She joins us to sum up this ambitious project. Kelly, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So episode 10, which, as we mentioned, dropped today, is a bit different from the first 9 episodes of Last Scene. It's a recording of a live event that features you, reporter Jack Rodolico, and Steve Kirkjian of the Boston Globe. And it gives us a chance, it gives you all a chance to look back and sort of sum up this ambitious project. So let's do that. You've spent the better part of the last 2 years following this story. First of all, why did you want to take this on, Kelly?
Because I love a challenge. And the challenge of making fresh a story that's 28 and a half years old, that's been written about which it seems everybody has an opinion. I thought, I'd like to see if I can make that fresh. I want to advance the story. Find new information, maybe dig up old information and shine a new light on it. So that was why. It just seemed kind of an irresistible challenge.
All right. So many fascinating characters in this story. Cops and robbers, rogues and art lovers. But perhaps the biggest character here is Isabella Stewart Gardner herself. You formed a real connection with her. Tell us why.
Well, she was really the animating spirit of the investigation for me, because I realized really early on that she's the reason that we're all here. She's the reason we're here talking about her now and about this now, because she bequeathed this art to the city of Boston. She left it in our care. It's gone, and we have to get it back. That's sort of the nutshell. But the story of her life is so fascinating. You know, we are living in the Boston that Isabella Stewart Gardner and her circle helped create, and we inherited that from her. She was a visionary. I think that she was an installation artist. I think that the entire creation of Fenway Court, as she called the Gardner Museum before it became the Gardner Museum, is her art installation writ large. All of these pieces that she cherished and the places that she chose for them in her museum, and her desire that all of us everywhere who can come see it should be allowed to. All of that I found extremely moving, and just as a guiding force, as a woman who had a slightly perfectionistic streak and who had a slightly controlling streak in wanting quality, that resonated just a little bit with me too.
So perfectionist, controlling. Give me a story about how she was a perfectionist or controlling.
Well, one of my favorite things that I learned about Isabella Stewart Gardner is that when she was building what would become the Gardner Museum, she worked very, very closely with not only her architect, but with the Italian stonemasons that she had brought over from Italy to erect this work so that it would look as authentic as it possibly could. And when she walked in one day into what is now what we know as the courtyard, she was unhappy with the shade of pink that they had put up there.
Uh-oh.
And she said, no, it's all wrong. This is what I want. And she got up on a ladder and she mixed the colors herself and she created the stucco effect that she wanted, that she had seen in Tuscany for her courtyard. So that's what I mean about a perfectionistic controlling freak.
That's a great anecdote. Kelly, what do you think she would, I mean, someone who imbued so much of her character in this museum, what would she make of this theft and the fact that it's been unsolved for almost 3 decades?
Well, you know, in 1911, there was a big theft of a painting we all know, the Mona Lisa, from the Louvre Museum in Paris. And at that time, there were other high-profile paintings that went missing. And Mrs. Gardner, as they call her at the museum, had the foresight to realize that her treasures, too, could be imperiled. And she hired a really crack security team, and she gave them a shoot-to-kill order. Now, imagine what she would think now, all these years later, knowing that the collection was in the hands of young and inexperienced and possibly well-meaning but not very effective security guards.
So I think it's fair to say that I know better than most that you pursued lots of interesting storylines.
True.
Not all of which ended up in the final 10 episodes. So I want to ask you about moments that you left on the cutting room floor that stand out, or one moment that's on the cutting room floor that we didn't get to hear.
Well, you might yet get to hear it because we're considering some bonus episodes. So this might yet come to fruition. But, you know, the imperative for me as the reporter and producer here was to go with the storylines that were the most fully complete, the ones that I could really report out and leave nothing out and leave nothing to speculation. One of those storylines that just didn't make that cut in my reporting was the Whitey Bulger connection. And, you know, Whitey Bulger died recently. There was a flurry of Twitter activity about, directed at the podcast about the possibility that he had been in on it. None of my reporting bore that out, but there are some very smart people who buy it. And I was with one of them, a former undercover man for Scotland Yard. I was with him in April in Dublin, Ireland, and we were going around to various of his confidential informants who claim that the Gardner art is indeed in Ireland and that it was Whitey Bulger and some of his soldiers who spirited it out of the country.
Wow. So this leads to the next question. Do you have a favorite theory of who stole the art and what happened to it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, tell us.
So, and this is where this reporting was just so gratifying and rewarding and fun, because I went back to the beginning of all these various storylines, and one jumped out at me because it wasn't really reported on after about 1992. I couldn't find many references to a guy named Brian McDevitt, who was from Swampscott, Massachusetts, who posed as a con man in upstate New York in 1980 and had a grand cinematic plan to rob a museum which was itself modeled after the Gardner. He wasn't successful in that robbery scheme, but so many of what he had intended to do, so many of those details really ring a bell if you study these crimes with what happened at the Gardner. And the more I dug into this and wanted to know sort of, you know, why did this theory fall away? And the more of the people that I interviewed who had known him at various points in his life, the more I realized that there's this whole group of people out there who believe he did it, and including a former FBI agent. So that was really fun because it, you know, could have just been a few phone calls, yielded nothing. I would have left it alone. It was just the opposite. When I happened to call Fred Fisher, who was the director of the Glens Falls Museum I'm talking about, called the Hyde Collection, when I happened to call him, I had the impression that it was the phone call he'd been waiting for 40 years.
And I love this moment because Fred Fisher says right after he heard about the Gardner heist, his mind went right to Brian McDevitt.
Immediately, absolutely immediately. You know, not only I, but my former staff, you know, we talked. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, "For God's sake, Fred, it's got to be McDevitt. It's got to be McDevitt."
Why do you think that is?
It was so clearly a similar incident. You know, timed around a holiday, disguised as somebody else, duct tape, and, you know, I guess they did have handcuffs, I think, at the Gardner. The similarities were just very much there.
Really interesting.
Yeah, and you know, Fred Fisher, I love hearing his voice because he was so excited to talk about this story because he, you know, he says that he went to the FBI, he told them about Brian McDevitt. He really, really tried to raise awareness about this guy and didn't feel that he was heard.
So, Kelly, I want to set up one of my favorite moments from these 10 episodes. And this is last week's episode, episode 9, when you and your fellow reporter Jack Rodolico and the Boston Globe Spotlight reporter Steve Kirkjian followed a lead down to Orlando, Florida, where Bobby Garrente, a suspect in this case, used to live. Set this up for us in this extraordinary scene that I want to play.
Well, Steve had received a tip from a former Boston gangster who had disappeared for a while into the witness protection program, who emerged sometime in 2016 to reach out to Steve to say, I used to live with Bobby Garrente during the week in a safe house in a suburb of Boston. And one night there was a story about the Gardner heist that came on television. And he leaned to me and he said, I know where those paintings are. They're buried under a concrete slab in Orlando, Florida. And from there, Steve Kirkjian, being the dogged reporter that he is, returned to his Garrente file, found that indeed there was an address in Florida associated with him, and thought, could it be? And from there, we hired a team of engineers to look at the lot where this house had been. It had been torn down. They found anomalies below the surface that weren't consistent with natural occurrences. And the FBI found the lead credible, and they planned to dig.
So this is the amazing thing, that based on your guys' work, the FBI takes over and does this dig. And then you, Jack Rodolico, and Steve Kirkjian of the Boston Globe go down to Florida and watch the dig. And here's a bit of that moment.
They see something.
They see something.
They see something.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
They see something.
They see something. They're gesturing a lot.
Well, look how he's digging. He's it's very ginger what he's doing. He's like tapping the ground. FBI agents conferring.
Mm-hmm.
They scraped at the bottom of the hole with rakes. You could lose a person in that hole. The digger started up again. We were still on the outside, still far from seeing what the people around the hole were seeing. It was practically killing us.
So, Kelly, what was that moment like, watching the FBI from across the street and this excavator digging a hole which might, just might, contain some of this art?
Oh, my God, I could almost not breathe. It was really exciting. And all of a sudden, shortly after that, the digger began dropping chunks of what looked to our eyes to be concrete. It was. And of course, we're thinking, they've unearthed the concrete slab, and will the gardener art be under it? And we were all very, I have to admit, very excited.
Right. And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say, obviously, the art wasn't in there. You didn't find the art. After nearly three decades, the FBI hasn't found the art. Nobody has found the art. Do you think it will ever be recovered, or do you worry that it's been lost forever?
So I'm, I'm a catastrophist by nature, but in this one instance, I'm full of hope because I do believe that whoever stole it at least understands what they have, and if they're holding on to it, it might not be in perfect climate-controlled conditions, but I do think that I do think it'll come back, and I think that the genius restoration people at the Gardner Museum, led by Gianfranco Poccobene, can get it back on the wall, and we'd nary notice a fleck of damage. That's my hope.
That's WBUR's Kelly Horan. She's the senior producer and senior reporter for the podcast Last Scene. The final episode, number 10, dropped today. If you haven't heard Last Scene, you can download it wherever you get your podcasts. Kelly, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And do you know where the art is? If so, send us a tweet at Radio Boston or send us a comment about this program. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more.